Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Divining Dreams with Selena Fox. And tonight, I share with you some more stories about Circle Sanctuary. This is the story of Circle Sanctuary, Part 3. Circle Sanctuary is a nature spirituality church that is headquartered on a 200-acre nature preserve in southwest Wisconsin, USA. Circle Sanctuary came into being just as Samhain arrived back in 1974. The name Circle came to me, the logo of 12 circles around a circle encircled, and we continue to use that logo today. And the idea of converging people who connect with the spiritual dimensions of nature, not only to create community with each other, but to deepen understanding with nature, the divine as one and as many. And over the years, we have continued doing that type of work. The first decade of Circle Sanctuary's existence was spent in a series of rented properties. One, we started in 1974 in a townhouse in South Madison, moved to a farmstead near Sun Prairie, Wisconsin in 75, moved to a large rambling house in rural Ashton, Wisconsin in 1979, moved to a small farmhouse in 1980 that was near Black Earth, Wisconsin, and needing some additional room a couple years after that, we got, in addition to that house, an office in the nearby village of Mount Horeb, Wisconsin. All these were rented properties. In 1983, we moved offices and household ceremonial space to Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. In 1983, we decided to change the name from the Church of Circle Wicca to Circle Sanctuary, and we incorporated the church name Circle Sanctuary into the name for the land, Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. Tonight I'd like to talk about our experiences being land-based. Certainly in the first decade of Circle Sanctuary's existence, we were in a variety of different properties, but we were renting the properties. We did not physically own the properties. From 1983 to 1995, we were in the process of purchasing the 200 acres to be our church headquarters. We began with a land contract. And with the proceeds of outright donations, with proceeds from different fundraising endeavors, including events, we were able to get a down payment together and move onto the land. And our goal was to continue to work on paying off the land as soon as possible. And then once the land was paid off, we would continue on with some other parts of the vision of having Circle Sanctuary not only be a community and a nature spirituality church serving pagans and Wiccans and Druids and witches and heathens, animists, and other nature folk around the world, but to be a place that was rooted in sacred land. The land has not been a property that many people have lived on since the early days of Wisconsin as a territory with European settlement, and followed that with statehood in 1848. Indeed, Circle Sanctuary, which owns the land, is the seventh owner since land ownership started happening with European settlement. One of the things that we had hoped for in finding land for our church headquarters was that the land itself would be scenically beautiful, which it is, that there would be a variety of ecosystems. We have wetlands, we have ridgetops, we have forests, we have meadows, we have a stream, we have different springs and other watery places, rock outcroppings, lots of wildlife. And part of our wish list was to have land that had been used in sacred ways in the past and to have some evidence of that. There are several ceremonial areas at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve that predate our use of the land as a sacred place. We have had people from a number of Native American tribes who do work in terms of researching and documenting sacred sites assist us as we have looked into that dimension of Circle Sanctuary land, and the land itself has helped guide us to people and to understandings and to places on the land that have turned out to be special places. One of the most beloved places at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve is a huge rock outcropping, one of the highest points in elevation on the land. And we gave the name Spirit Rock to this special place at one part of our land. This is a place that many people will go to through some of our nature trails. There are actually several different nature trails that lead up to Spirit Rock. There also is a way to access it with advanced permission for the visit from us by public road. It's still a walk-in from the public road, and we're in the process of making it even more accessible so people of a variety of different abilities will be able to get out and be at this scenic place. The first time that I saw that place was when we had the opportunity to check out the land and see if it was going to be suitable for our headquarters. This is before we purchased the land, before we even made an offer on the land. The people that once had been part of a family that owned that land lived next door, and we were told about that connection by some other local people. We paid them a visit, and in talking with this older couple, we were told about this special rock. Now, it was known before we called it Spirit Rock. It was known in the neighborhood and in the township as Sunset Rock. And indeed, when one goes out on the rock, throughout the different times of the year, even with the moving position of the sun that sets, that happens between the journeys, between solstices, it is visible. It is a west-facing rock outcropping. And it is a wonderful place to watch the setting sun. When we first saw the place and looked out on the vista, most of what we see from the rock are the 200 acres that is now known as Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. It is very uplifting. It is very magical. And from the very first time I was there, I not only was struck by the beauty, but the aged connections with the rock outcropping, which is a form of sandstone that dates way back in geological time, in particular something that's known as St. Peter's sandstone. There's also some dolomite around, and some of the people in our community are geologists, which is how we've come to understand some of the geology dynamics of our land. I also got a sense that this place not only had been used for generations since European settlement of the area, but back in time had been a place for communing with the divine by the ancient native people that had been in the area. Wisconsin has nearly a dozen different tribes at present, and there's a number of contacts we've had with some of the indigenous people in Wisconsin. Mostly what we have come to learn is that it's very likely the Ho-Chunk people, who once were called by the French the Winnebago, but this tribe has taken back their name Ho-Chunk in more recent years, were people that had this as an area that was special to them. Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve is near another sacred place, which is known as a state park now, Blue Mound State Park, and it is even higher than our Spirit Rock area. It's the next ridge or so over, and there's a huge mound, naturally occurring mound, elevated space, and from Blue Mound, you can actually look through some of the observation points on top of the mound and see Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. And that mound we know was a sacred site for the Ho-Chunk people. And we think, based on some of the research that we have done at certain places on Circle Sanctuary land, that it's quite likely that in pre-European settlement times that people roamed the land and had parts of Circle Sanctuary land as special places for ceremony. We certainly use a variety of spots at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve as ceremonial grounds. And in so doing, we honor not only the spirits of the land, but we also pay our respects to the ancient ones that once had the land as their home. In so doing and developing a relationship not only with the creatures that live on the land and their spiritual dimensions, the various trees and other types of plants that are on the land and their spiritual dimensions, but going across time and space and connecting with those who had found the land and considered it part of their territory or part of a home for them. In the ancient past, we have honored them and their spiritual dimensions, and we have received guidance and protection from all of these spiritual forces that are embedded with our land, that are part of the great circle of being on Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. As a result of being grounded in sacred land, we have had ideas for ceremonies come to us. We have been guided in terms of creating places for ceremony. We have discovered places through intuitive connections with the divinities and the sacred forces that are part of Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. And we have had people drawn to our center that have found their way there during some of our events, and we've been able to form good connections. And so there is some very deep responsibilities in caring for land as a whole, and sacred land, magical land in particular. The first place that we marked and started using as a ceremonial site is what we call now the Ritual Mound. As we started exploring the land, even before we purchased it, we were drawn to this grove, mostly of oak trees, some birch, atop this naturally occurring mound, had a sense of a kind of hollowness in it, the old Celtic traditions of the hollowed hills. And after making our connections with the land, the Samhain of 1983, and interacting with the nature spirits there and making the decision as a result of that ceremony and meditation and quest, we began purchase of the land. Yule of 1983, we began creating a circle of stones atop this ritual site. One of the first stones we set in place was an altar stone that had been part of the Pentacle Circle back at Circle Farm Number 1 in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. And we had carried that altar stone with us from Sun Prairie to Ashton to Black Earth. And at Yuletide 1983, a small group of us, using a toboggan and dressed in warm winter gear, trudged through the snow, went up to the mound, had the stone on a sledge, and we set our altar stone in place and some stones at the four directions. In subsequent Sabbaths, we continued work on the stone circle. The following year, in fall of 1984, we had already started using the ceremonial area so much that we actually realized we kept the center altar stone in place in the inner stone ring, but we needed to actually enlarge the circle. And so we moved the cairns, and then we started placing stones between cairns or piles of stones at each of the four corners. We dedicated the stone circle as a place for planetary healing and wellness in a special ceremony that we held in the mid-80s. It actually was filmed by an Australian film team that was working on a film called The Occult Experience. A well-known and respected director in Australia by the name of Frank Hymans was there with a crew directing it. And Neville Drury, who was well-known not only in Australia but other parts of the world for his books about magic and occultism, he was writing a book to go along with the movie, and they visited a number of different places as they were developing the movie, and then we were among one of the places that they selected. The movie itself has become kind of a classic in metaphysical, pagan, and occult circles. And there are a number of different pagan leaders from different parts of the world in there, as well as people who work with energy in a variety of different ways. So it's an interesting convergence of people who work with inner mysteries, who work with magic, work with ceremony, work with spirituality and religion. And it's my understanding it's still available, and actually a high-definition version available on the World Wide Web via YouTube. And there is a small segment that was filmed at our place. And we did a dedication of the circle. That was the ritual that we did. Now, when the film team showed up, and this was December when they had selected us and came to do the filming, they arrived at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, and there is no snow. It was December, and these Australians really wanted snow. And the film director talked with me and said, well, you know what? Well, we'll leave. Maybe we'll come back tomorrow. And I went, oh, yeah? Well, we're going to do the ceremony, whether you're here to film it or not. We're not just playing for the cameras. This is a real ceremony, which was surprising to him. I didn't realize that he was well-known and a big name in the film industry. I was just being honest with him. Two people who were part of our core community back at that time, Axis and Starfire, were dairy farmers, and they lived more than an hour and a half away. They had arranged to have the cows milked so they could leave the farm and come and do this ceremony with us. So we were deciding we were going to do this ceremony regardless of whether the film team wanted to do it or not. We figured, well, they could film some other stuff if they left. Well, after some consideration, the director looks at me and says, okay, we will continue with plans to film. Well, the moment he said that, making that decision and announcing it, what should happen? But snow started coming down outside. Not just little bits of flurries, we're talking big flakes of snow, dramatic snow. And the film team got very excited. They had not seen snow before, so that was fun. And people were scurrying around and getting their cameras. And then we began our procession up to the stone circle where we did the ceremony. We went to each of the quarters. We connected with the spirits of the land. We connected with the powers of the directions. There were five of us doing the rite besides Axis and Starfire. Jim Allen, who helped found Circle with me, and Dennis Carpenter, who is my partner now, and I, the five of us were there, each calling an element, earth, air, fire, water, spirit, each of us doing that calling in our own way. So after completing the ceremony, we did some additional work indoors in the farmhouse and had a chance to do some visiting with the film team, with the writer and the director. And they decided that they would go back to their hotels in the nearby area and that they would indeed come out in the morning again. Well, they came back in the morning and let us know that as they left the property and started driving on the public roads, there was no snow anywhere else. And in being told that, I said, well, you know, you made the right decision. And Mother Nature blessed you with some snow. So that was kind of a fun experience. And very much was part of the magic of that particular film. We've had other filmmakers get permission to come out and do some filming. We had people from the Film Board of Canada. I did some consulting work with them for The Goddess Remembered. And on occasion, we have allowed some TV crews and some press and some radio folks to come out on the land. But in so doing, we really endeavor to make sure that the people coming are really serious about their journalism and their art, if it's part of an art project that they're doing, art film rather than a documentary. And so over the years, we've had some coverage as part of this. Probably the most media that we had on our land came on Memorial Day 2007. Circle Sanctuary was part of a 10-year quest for equal rights for pagan veterans to have the pinnacle added to the list of emblems of belief that can be included on grave markers issued for deceased veterans by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. And we've had some podcasts that have gone into greater detail about that entire journey, and we have some articles that I've written and some links to news media articles up at our military ministry section of our website for those of you who might want more information about that. The good news is on April 23rd, 2007, the pinnacle finally went on the list of emblems authorized to be included on government-issued grave markers. And as part of the settlement with the VA, we actually had to go into the courts after trying to work administratively and legislatively, didn't get us anywhere, that people that had been waiting for stone for their deceased loved ones would get them quickly. And indeed, at Circle Sanctuary, two of the first four stones that were issued came and arrived on May 1st of 2007. And those stones were for Jerome Birnbaum, who served in the Korean War and actually was a prisoner of war, and Sergeant Patrick Stewart, who I had served in Desert Storm and then after 9/11 had signed up, reenlisted for military service, and was killed in Afghanistan in Operation Enduring Freedom. So those two stones showed up at May 1st, and in Arlington National Cemetery, the other two stones that were being issued right away showed up. And then we got a couple more stones from people who decided to order them. And at Memorial Day, we dedicated three of the four stones that we had gotten since the settlement had taken place. And we dedicated Sergeant Patrick Stewart's stone. His widow was there. Jerome Birnbaum's stone, his widow was there. And Doug Wilkie's stone, and his widow was there. And we invited pagan leaders from a number of different traditions to come. And we invited the press, because we thought it was important with all the press coverage that had covered our quest to try to get the symbol on the list, that it was important to tell the happy ending, that sad that the people had died, but happy that they finally got their wish to have the pinnacle added to the gravestone after death. And in so doing, we had a convergence of some local people, pagans of different paths from not only nearby, but the widows were from quite a distance. We did a press conference. We had radio. We had television. We had newspapers, all sorts of photographers. And we did right by those who had died and their families. We felt it was really important on Memorial Day to be able to dedicate these stones. Since that time, we've had other VA markers come to our cemetery that are marking the graves of pagans of different paths and different places who have served in different branches of the U.S. military. We have 9 VA-issued markers with pinnacles on them, and our most recent VA-issued marker was for a man by the name of Oak Bear, who is both Druid as well as a Wiccan priest. And I know in talking with him in the last part of his life, as he was in the final stages of his lifetime at a VA hospital in Wisconsin, as I was with him, talked with him on the phone, and also was at his bedside, you know, he had to make a decision. Well, is he going to get a pinnacle because of his Wiccan connection or an Awen because of the Druid connection? He decided to go with the Awen because it had only recently been added to the list of emblems of belief that the VA keeps for those symbols to be able to go on the grave markers. Our cemetery and its Veterans Ridge does continue to be a place of pilgrimage, not only for people who have remains of their loved ones there, but every year we take part in a nationwide program called Wreaths Across America. And Wreaths Across America puts evergreen wreaths in December on veterans' grave sites at private and public cemeteries across the USA. So we're one of hundreds of different cemeteries that are taking part in this program. As far as I know, we're the only green cemetery to be part of the program and the only pagan cemetery to be part of the program. So people connect with the land in a variety of different ways. We have the stone circle, which is actually part of the 20 acres that's been zoned as our green cemetery. We have the old part of the cemetery where Veterans Ridge is and where our pagan elders section is, as well as a variety of other areas on that ridgetop, which are sacred sites. We have also a burying ground for people that want full body burials. Some of those grave sites are marked with stone, some simply with some GPS and some markers at each of the four corners of the grave site. And we have a restored prairie that's part of the sacred dynamics of our church cemetery. And in the restored prairie, which we began in 1996, and it took several years, but our goal was to get the prairie up and running by 2000, and that happened. In this tall grass prairie every year, we will scatter some ashes of humans who have expressed a need to have their ashes scattered there, and some people have wanted to scatter ashes of dogs and cats, companion creatures there. So that's another part of our cemetery. The upper field of our restored prairie is also a ritual site for full moon rituals. It's at a high enough elevation that the moon and its rising is seen quicker there than down by our buildings. And for that reason, especially during the warmer months, when the daylight lasts much longer, we will go up to the restored prairie and do ceremonies in the prairie. And it's just really spectacular to see the moon rise and shimmer on this restored area. Another part of the land that's important to people is what we call the Festival Circle. The Festival Circle was developed in order to have enough room for people taking part in our larger festivals at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, and as a place that is more accessible. It's on a flat field, so one does not have to go up the hillside to get there, which is the case with the Stone Circle. And we can get between 200 and 300 people around our festival fire, and we can build huge fires there and have. Sometimes those fires are 20 feet tall or greater. So we have our fire festivals there, and often we'll be kindling a very large bonfire as part of that experience. Near the festival circle are some other sacred sites. We have Bridget Spring. Bridget Spring is a naturally occurring artesian spring that bubbles up throughout the year, even in the depths of winter. I discovered Bridget Spring back in the mid-80s, shortly after we had gotten the land and started working on developing our field roads and exploring it. I was guided to the spring and saw this artesian spring, and the name Bridget Spring came to me. Now, I've worked with Bridget, the Celtic goddess of inspiration, healing, and transformation. She's a goddess of sacred wells and holy springs, and I've done much work with her, and the spring itself has a strong connection with her, which is why I think the name literally bubbled up in my consciousness. And people have gone to that spring as a healing place. There, as we've worked with that part of sacred land, we have developed a version of what some people call the Clutie well custom, where Cluties are strips of cloth that typically are tied on bushes or trees near a holy well or a sacred spring. And this was a common practice not only amongst Celtic people, according to contemporary pagan lore, but certainly we know that within living memory, people are keeping this folk tradition alive in a number of places, not only in the UK, but also in Ireland and parts of continental Europe. Well, we have our own version of this, and we actually have metal shepherd's hooks that are above the spring now. We did have a tree, a short-lived tree there that we used for a time, but when its life had concluded, we replaced it with some shepherd's hooks. And one of the traditions is, when one's visiting Bridget Spring, is to take a ribbon, bring one with you, or we have some within our temple room that people can clip a length of ribbon and go there. We have grapevine hoops. Most of those I've fashioned myself and have donated to Circle Sanctuary. And we have those grapevine hoops on the shepherd hooks, and people take their lengths of ribbon. They tie a knot in the ribbon for each wish. With each healing request that they wish to do, then they tie those ribbons to the healing hoop. And after a healing hoop has been at the spring for at least one moon's time, and we typically leave those hoops up for several months, then that healing hoop goes to a bush nearby the spring, to make way for additional healing hoops with ribbons. So we do this throughout the course of the year. Some people, in addition to tying knots in the ribbons, will dip the ribbons in the water. We have had reports from a variety of people who have experienced powerful healing as a result of this, some cures as a result of this. And certainly there are many factors that go into healing and wellness. I am thankful that our spring is one of those sacred places now associated with healing and most likely has been a favorite spot, not only for the wildlife, which continues to come there and drink of the fresh, clear waters, but of land spirits and humans who've encountered that place over time. We have something called the bonfire circle, and that's a small, typically a social fire, but we've used it ritually. And it's very convenient for people that have a wish to be closer to our buildings. And it's in a central area between our remodeled barn, where our temple is, and our old farmhouse, where we have archives and where we have our festival kitchen. And at this Bridget Spring is a quick walk away, and the bonfire circle being right between the two buildings, people have good access to that as a place to sit around the fire and socialize and visit. It's a short walk to Bridget Spring, an even shorter walk to another popular ritual site that we've developed over the years at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, which is known as the Mugwort Circle. The Mugwort Circle is comprised of an herb, Artemisia vulgaris, and this herb is a type of artemisia that has been associated with dreams and magic, and the branches on this herb, they can get 6, 7, 8, 9 feet tall. So we have this wonderful hedge of mugwort. And in the center of our mugwort circle is our maypole. We keep alive a tradition that has been part of paganism and folk traditions in more recent times, not only in the UK, but across Europe. Every village used to have its maypole, and it would get adorned with flowers and ribbons and other things, and dancing the maypole was something that happened in the spring. And in many places, it was done on May 1st. In some countries, such as Sweden, it was actually done at midsummer or summer solstice, probably because of climate differences. Our maypole has taken some different forms over time. When we first moved to Circle Sanctuary back in 1983, we used what some people would call a hand railing that you can get at most lumber yards or whatever, a very thin pole, sturdy but thin, and we attached a hook at the top and looped ribbons around it. And we danced our maypole. And we did that for a number of years and realized we really, as we worked with the land, wanted to have something that came from the land. So we went to a place of the land that we call Carinunos Woods, which is just beyond the burying ground that we now have as part of our cemetery and the restored prairie, and we looked specifically for double-trunked oaks so that we would not be taking the entire life of the tree. We would just take one of the trunks. And so we, with great ceremony, would have the gathering of the oak from the forest. And we did that for a number of years. And we found that was really kind of magical. But one of the effects that we found by having the oak harvested from the land and then put in the earth is that after a few years, the forces of nature, the moistness of the ground around the oak that had been set several feet down, was starting to decompose the wood. Well, one of the last things you want to see happen on a maypole is to have the maypole fall down in the middle of a dance. So we started thinking about other options. And sometimes the land just will bring you a gift. And indeed, as we started considering what we might do, because we needed to replace the existing oak maypole, we discovered an old utility pole that had been treated years ago. And it must have been laying down on the land for several decades. It was well seasoned, and we decided, why not put this in as our maypole? And that has become our maypole. It's been there many, many years now. It is a very tall maypole. It has a screw in at the top with a loop around it where we tie ribbons. And every few years, we have the ritual called change out the ribbons. Well, we changed out the ribbons this past Beltane, and changing out the ribbons is quite a production. We get very tall ladders, and we lash them together, and we get a brave person to go forth and climb up the ladder and do the change. Well, one of our community members and who's also doing ministry with us as part of our military ministries team, Judith, who is our graphic designer for our brochures and newsletter and annual report and Pagan Spirit Gathering program guide and some other things. Well, she had a boat for many years and has good flexibility. And so for the very first time this past Beltane, Judith took the turn of going up and changing the ribbons. And in so doing, made Circle history, being the first crone to do the ribbon change. We have many different traditions that surround our maypole and our mugwort circle garden. And in addition to changing out the ribbons, we have the staking out of the ribbons, which we do every year before the maypole dance. Because our maypole is a year-round maypole, we dance it at Beltane, and it remains woven until the following Beltane. And the day before we do our maypole dance, then we get people, often it's the maypole dancers for the year themselves, in to unwrap the maypole, which is its own kind of wonderful thing. Now, if the maypole has been wrapped pretty exactly and with good synchronized rhythm, then it can be pretty easy to unwrap the maypole. Sometimes our maypole dancing gets a bit creative, and then it takes us a little bit more time to unwrap that maypole. So once we unwrap the maypole, we have tent stakes, and we take the long streamers, and there's about a dozen and a half of these beautiful colored ribbons, and they're 13 yards long. So that's a lot of ribbon. And we'll take tip stakes and stake them down so it looks like this beautiful ribboned cone above our maypole. Then the ritual happens and people dance the maypole. And another one of our traditions happens, which is after the maypole has been wrapped and the community has energized it, then, and sometimes I do this and sometimes it's one of the other ritual leaders does this, there will be a calling for people to come to the pole to get blessings for a particular purpose. We typically call the people who want to get pregnant in the next year up to the maypole first. After all, it is a fertility rite. And then we'll call people who may need healing, people that may want help with creative projects, couples that want to celebrate and deepen their relationship. We call up singles and who want to have partners. And that's always interesting because then people get to see who's available. And that's kind of a fun piece. And we had the elders of the community come up. We've had kids come up. So that part is another important part of our sacred land tradition. And it builds community, and it takes an old custom and incorporates it into a celebration in some new ways. There are other places on our land that are special to us, and in over the last decade or so, we have done what's known as sacred fire circles, and this is Labor Day weekend, and it is a very special event where people have a chance to dance, to do service, to do inner healing, to trance, to do personal expression. It's an alchemical, shamanic, personal transformation experience. And in our sacred fire circle area, we have a central fire ring, and then we have a smaller fire ring, which is the root fire, and sacred tea, often it's from herbs on the land, lemon balm and mint, some other healing and wellness herbs are put into a tea, and people drink that as part of their healing and wellness experience doing the sacred fire circle. Of course, our buildings also have sacred dimensions there, and in our remodeled barn, we have the temple room plus our offices, and our temple room is a multi-purpose room. We have done some ceremonies in other parts, the unmodeled part of the barn, but most of the time we're in our temple room, and we've done ceremonies within the house on the land. In fact, our very first ritual place indoors is what we call the magic room, and we still do rituals there from time to time, small group rituals. Near our festival circle is another special place, and it is known as the Spiral Labyrinth. Some of the work that we have done through Circle Sanctuary over the years is at interreligious gatherings. And so at the Parliament of the World's Religions in 2004, and the Parliament of the World's Religions in 1999, there were some opportunities to reflect on what type of project one might do to take the energy of international interreligious cooperation into the greater world. And it came to me that having a place dedicated to peace, for inner peace and world peace, would be good to have. And thus, the Spiral Labyrinth came to be. It's actually Dennis, my husband, and I were celebrating our 20th anniversary, and this was in 2006. We had gotten married up at the Stone Circle, and he said, well, what do we want to do for our anniversary? I said, well, what if we create a spiral labyrinth? And he was able, it's a hedge labyrinth, to mow a wonderful spiral, and in the center is a place where up to 30 or 40 people can gather and do ritual if they wish. And the wonderful thing about how our spiral labyrinth is created is as you walk in, you go wither shins. You are letting go of what you need to release in order to reach peace at the center. After you do work at the center, meditation, and depending on who's facilitating a labyrinth ritual, sometimes it's self-guided at our events, and sometimes there are ritualists there. There may be divination opportunities. There may be a cauldron with runestones in it, or oracle cards or tarot cards. There might be a scrying bowl. There might be a scrying fire. A variety of different forms might take place depending on the particular time that labyrinth rituals are done. And after one has spent time in the center, had taken in guidance and wellness and balance, healing, done whatever ritual, magical work, then one walks out of the circle in a spiral going clockwise, which symbolically is starting to manifest that peace and that guidance into the daily life and the outer world. So the spiral labyrinth has been used for individual meditation and in group meditation. These are just a few of the sacred sites on the land. By having ceremonial places that group activity happens at, the area deepens its resonance with the sacred. It takes a kind of charge, and over time, as rituals continue to happen to a place, it becomes more energized. And there's also many different parts of the land which haven't really been used for group ritual, but people might have a favorite tree or a favorite spot in the prairie. And part of us doing the Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve as part of our Circle Sanctuary experience is not just to have headquarters for our offices and our activities, but to have a place where humankind can deepen their understandings of working with the sacred dimensions of nature, working with land in a sacred way. And by having a variety of different places, chances are, as people repeatedly come to our land, one of those places will speak to a person, and a person will start working with that land as part of their own inner growth and development. Circle Sanctuary land, we started it in 83. In 95, we paid off the land and started our cemetery. In 2010, the cemetery expanded and now is 20 acres. And now this year, we've done some additional work with our land, and at our Samhain gathering this year, we'll be talking about our next adventures of working with our sacred land, not only to connect ourselves with the energy of the land, but with the humans that are part of community. Thank you all for listening tonight to the story of Circle Sanctuary. Next week, join me again on Dividing Dreams with Selena Fox. I want to give thanks to David and Jeanette Ewing, Laura Gonzalez and Deborah Rose, who are all part of our CSNP team. I wish everybody a happy Samhain who's listening live. And if you want more information about our Samhain events and other events, you can go online, www.circlesanctuary.org. And if you'd like to make contact with us, you can do so through emailing there, or you can email circle@circlesanctuary.org. Well, happy birthday, Circle Sanctuary, turning 45 at this Samhain of 2019, and happy birthday to our land project. Blessed Samhain to all in the Northern Hemisphere, blessed Beltane for those who will be celebrating in the Southern Hemisphere. Now to take us out of tonight's show, we have a song that Jim Allen and I did on our albums from the past. Magic song. Have a great night. Good dreaming.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.